on behalf of appellant.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is A.L. Brown, and I'm here on behalf of Wada Kamara. I ask the court's indulgence. I've recently had some dental work, so my teeth are literally hurting. So if I don't answer as fast as the court would like it, it's due to that. The question before the court is a question of statutory interpretation. Whether the acts that were captured in the video amount to abuse under the Vulnerable Adults Act. And the reason I phrase it as a question of statutory interpretation is this court has made plain, and I believe it's the Staley case, that the Department of Human Services doesn't get to just decide whether poor behavior or ill-advised behavior amounts to abuse. The legislature has set forth specific acts that constitute abuse, and using the canons of construction, this court has said that similar behavior for unenumerated acts must be also of a same serious and egregious nature.
Counsel, given that we've already engaged in that interpretation and reached that conclusion, why is there any need for us to do further statutory interpretation? Don't we just need to take that standard we've announced and apply it to the facts here?
Correct, Judge. I don't have a problem with that approach to the
court. But that wouldn't be statutory interpretation, and that wouldn't get us into de novo review. That's the reason I think it's important to clarify what we're doing at the outset. If we're interpreting a statute to determine whether certain conduct would satisfy a statutory standard, then we're engaged in interpretation. It's a de novo process. But if we know what the standard is and we're just applying that standard to facts, that seems to take us into sort of the traditional deferential standard of review that we apply when reviewing agency decisions, doesn't it?
Judge, I'm not quite sure in this particular context that paradigm holds true, in the sense that what the court is doing is looking at unenumerated behavior. Ordinarily, you're looking in statutory interpretation, whether it's a criminal matter or a civil matter, you're looking to see whether this fits a particular box that is listed by the legislature. In this instance, we're talking about something completely different, which is whether something the legislature has not listed also fits within this box.
But didn't we say in Staley, and here's how you answer that question, you have to determine whether the alleged conduct is as serious and egregious as the examples that are listed.
And I don't think we're necessarily disagreeing. I think it's a thin line between our positions. I do believe, and I understand the importance and the import of the question as to whether you apply a deferential standard or a de novo review. My view of it is that it falls to the de novo review because you have to interpret the behavior in context of you're almost at to some degree answering the question as to whether the wagging of a finger and the throwing of a towel is almost enumerated. Does it fit within that same category of behavior that the legislature has prohibited?
I agree, but I think this court has already told us how we do that.
And you do that, Judge, and I hope I've answered the court's question.
You have.
But
you
do that by assessing whether it's as serious and egregious as some of the acts that has been listed by the legislature. And I think the wagging of the finger falls far short of anything listed by the legislature. And so we have to, at least the department has to be relying exclusively on the flinging of the towel. Now, I don't want to get into nitpicking about whether the towel was flung or whether it was thrown. I think we can agree that it moved from Ms. Wada's hand to the vulnerable adult. I think, although the department itself has used the word flung, and the only reason why I think that has any import or I bring it up is because we're talking about a measure of force as to how much force was used. This has to be put in the context of Ms. Wada saying that the vulnerable adult was spitting at her, using racial slurs. She was trying to put an incontinent product on her to cover her. The fact that she was nude when Ms. Wada appeared is not Ms. Wada's doing. That was how Ms. Wada found her. But I don't think this behavior meets the standard. And we look to in the unemployment cases only because there's such a dearth of case law on what constitutes abuse under the Vulnerable Adults Act. And I think that's for a couple of reasons. A, the people who do this kind of work don't oftentimes have the means to challenge it. But that doesn't mean that this isn't important work. They take care of our elderly and provide it a critical service. But they don't always have the means to challenge the department's finding that they've committed abuse. On the other hand, I think it's clear on some occasions what abuse is. As I said in my brief, I believe that this type of behavior is on a continuum. In the case in which we cited, in which the individual shot with the person in public, of course that's humiliating and wrong, and that's abuse. That's an easy case. So the difficult cases don't really make it to the court. And so I think the department would benefit from some guidance, but more importantly, for my client's sake, that these providers would benefit also, because otherwise the department is left to decide on its own what is abuse. And that is exactly what the court wanted to prevent in Staley. It says, look, department, there's a statutory definition of what abuse is. The fact that you don't like, and you may be right in that assessment, how a particular care provider, may I pause for a moment?
Sure.
How a particular care provider, provider provided care to a vulnerable adult, that doesn't necessarily mean it's abuse. What it means is abuse is defined by the statute.
Could you please sort of take a moment to address the commissioner's reasoning? As I understand it, the commissioner said this is abuse for two reasons. First, the TAL constitutes hitting. Now I'm coughing with everybody else. Could you address that while I recover?
Yes, Judge, I think what the commissioner's argument on that point is essentially that hitting is in and of itself a per se violation of the Vulnerable Adults Act. That's not.
Do you think that tossing the towel is hitting in the first place?
I don't think that that's the definition of hitting.
I mean, this might be an area where you do go to statutory interpretation. What do we mean by hitting? But no one's really given us a definition in the briefing.
Fair point.
Except you do point out that not any hitting would be adequate. It has to be hitting that is likely to cause whatever level of bodily harm.
Correct.
Or distress.
Correct. So the commissioner's argument is that the tossing of the towel amounts to hitting. Let's accept that for the purposes of working through the statute. If that is hitting, that is not sufficient. The commissioner's response brief says, well, there's no de minimis hitting. Now, the statute puts us in an uncomfortable position, but the fact of the matter is there is to some degree in the statute. If it does not cause
the qualifier,
then it is not permissible, it's not advisable, but it's not abuse. Okay. And that's the statutory distinction that the commissioner has to abide by. And so the hitting goes out of the window, because I don't think there's any serious argument that the flinging of the towel, and I don't know if the court's had an opportunity to review the video,
yes,
would constitute the type of hitting that would result in what the statute requires to amount to abuse.
The commissioner's other line of reasoning was that this satisfies the second part of the statutory definition, in that if you look at the entire course of conduct, so not just the towel and the finger wagging, but sort of getting up close in the VA's face, finger wagging, towel twice, sort of an angry look on the face, that whole course of conduct shows behavior that's, degrading, humiliating, likely to cause emotional distress. Could you address that component of the commissioner's reasoning?
I will, Judge, and I think the best way to address it, and I'm not being flippant, is that the commissioner didn't like what the commissioner saw in the video, and that's a fair reaction.
But why wouldn't a reasonable person look at that and say that's degrading, humiliating? Let me look at the exact words.
Because a reasonable person, if you're talking
disparaging, derogatory, humiliating, harassing, or threatening.
Because a reasonable person, if you're going to look at it in the entire context, would also have to look at the context of what Ms. Wada was experiencing. She was trying to put a product on a nude, vulnerable adult who was spitting at her. The commission.
Don't we expect her as the professional to maintain a certain level of behavior? I mean, is there any authority for the proposition that, well, the standard varies depending on how the VA is behaving?
Judge Larkin, my response to that is the court, I'm responding to the court's question about the entire course of conduct. Right. And if you want to put the entire course of conduct into context, you have to put it into context of what the VA, I'm sorry, what the provider is also experiencing. Perfection is not the standard. The VAA does not require, and I agree with the court, I've got loved ones in elder care. I certainly don't want them abused or mistreated in any way. But there are, this particular vulnerable adult was known to be difficult to care for. This particular vulnerable adult, by the commissioner's own findings, was using horrific language, racially charged language. And Ms. Wada, throughout the entire process, is working to try to resolve the matter, trying to get her covered and to provide care for her.
But what do we do with the commissioner's express finding that she didn't believe your client? I mean, your client testified, here's what was going on, here's what I was doing and why I was doing it. And the commissioner said, I don't believe that because what you're saying is not consistent with what I've seen in the video. And we do have some obligation to defer to that assessment of your client's credibility in terms of what was going on.
I urge the court to reconsider this and, to some degree, this deference that is afforded in a case like this to a commissioner's finding when there's video. I mean, the court is capable of looking at the, this is not the.
But if we look at the video and we think, yeah, the commissioner's explanation makes sense.
Then we lose. And that's the result that Ms. Wada would have to live with. But what I don't think she should have to live with is, as one of the members of this court put it, the badge of being labeled an abuser. When she's operating under very tough circumstances, it doesn't meet the statutory definition of abuse. And what I think the court really has to be concerned about is not just this case, but whether the commissioner gets to decide what abuse is. Do they get to just say, and this court offers deference to that finding, this is abuse because it made the news and there must be a price to pay. And I would say to the court, although this is not in the record, this was a relatively publicized, got quite a bit of public attention. There has to be a statutory tie if you're going to place the badge of abuser on a provider. I've covered the issue as to why I don't believe the hitting would qualify. Now we're just left with this general sense of this overall picture of this just looks bad. There are a lot of acts that take place in the providing of care for vulnerable adults that may seem dehumanizing to the reasonable person. I think some people may find the very nature of needing those kinds of services to have someone to put that product on you, to have someone to have to wash you, to be humiliating in some sense. But that doesn't meet the statutory definition. And so I'd ask the court to reverse the district court or the commissioner, just as the judge in the fair hearing did, finding that this simply does not meet the standard of abuse under the Vulnerable Adults Act.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Of course, you'll have time for rebuttal if you'd like it.
Thank you.
Counsel for respondent.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. I'm Megan McKenzie from the Minnesota Attorney General's Office on behalf of the Department of Health. This appeal does address a very significant and important issue, which is how do we expect vulnerable people to be treated by their caregivers? The Vulnerable Adults Act is a remedial statute to be interpreted for the benefit of some of the most vulnerable Minnesotans, including the elderly, the disabled, the very ill. I think there are a couple of important points to be made. First of all, the court should apply the traditional deferential standard to agency decisions. This is an appeal under the Administrative Procedures Act. The court has, as Judge Larkin said, previously announced the standard by which we evaluate whether conduct is abuse. The commissioner applied that standard. It's a little bit, I think, misleading to say that this conduct isn't, quote, enumerated under the statute. The commissioner looked at the statute, looked at the examples of what constitutes abuse under the statute, and said, yes, this conduct fits. Regarding the hitting with the towel, the commissioner found that this was a forceful hitting of the vulnerable adult in the face, and you know, the video really is disturbing to watch and really demonstrates that this is, you know, and the commissioner found it was engaged with anger and malice. It was unacceptable. The dictionary definition of hitting contemplates hitting with an object. So the question here really is, would a reasonable person experience emotional distress? The commissioner found, yes, a reasonable person would experience emotional distress from being treated in this way. And I think the context of this matters. This wasn't sort of flinging a towel at somebody at the pool. This is a vulnerable woman who has severe dementia, having an incontinence product changed. She's naked. This would, I think, upset anyone, certainly a reasonable person. Appellant sort of tries to excuse her behavior by saying, well, the VA was allegedly engaged in these behaviors, the racial slurs. The commissioner credited some of that testimony, but also said, you are the professional. You have to abide by the standards of nursing care. And the vulnerable adult's behavior is not an excuse to engage in that abusive behavior. That was effectively what the DHS judge found. And the commissioner said, no, we expect our caregivers to abide by the standards of nursing care. And this court has said in the past that the Department of Health can rely on those standards in determining what is and is not maltreatment. Regarding the sort of totality, the hitting combined with the other behavior constituting treatment under the statute, you know, this was also appropriate. The commissioner made specific findings that her behavior was egregious, that it was that it would cause this distress, that it did cause her distress, but that it met the statutory criteria. So the commissioner applied the proper framework here and decided that this was appropriately, that this was abuse. The credibility determination is important. The court does defer to the credibility determination. The commissioner said what the appellant had described is simply not really what happened, and there is no reason to deviate from that simply because there's a video. It's clear the video doesn't have audio. We don't know exactly what was said, so that requires a certain amount of inference and credibility determination making to really determine what happened here, and so deferring to the fact finder is appropriate in that case, as in all other cases. You know, the appellant references Staley, and while I think Staley is an important case because it gives us some of the framework, that case really was about where it was only language, and this case certainly isn't about only language. As you've seen in the video, we have the caregiver really sort of whipping the towel into the vulnerable adult's face, which is different than simply the single non-malicious statement involved in Staley. You know, another important distinction is here the commissioner made an explicit finding that the conduct was malicious, that it was egregious. And that determination is made in the context of what we normally expect of caregivers, of vulnerable adults, which again is something the court has specifically said is appropriate. A reasonable person would experience, you know, to use the appellant's language, a highly unpleasant mental reaction to being treated in this way. I think most of us would experience that simply by watching it happen to another person, let alone having it happen to us. And under the Administrative Procedures Act review, this was not arbitrary and capricious. It was supported by substantial evidence. It wasn't infected by an error of law. There's simply no reason to overturn the commissioner's finding. And so if the court has no questions.
Thank you, Ms. McKenzie.
Thank you very much.
Rebuttal, Mr. Brown.
Just, I want to start off with the issue of credibility. I don't think that that's a game changer on either side in this matter. There's a video, and the behavior, not how Ms. Wada described her behavior or the explanation for her behavior, is what the statute controls. And so you have two pieces of behavior that the commissioner is trying to conflate, the hitting and the overall environment. You have to separate those under the statute.
Why? Why do you have to separate them?
Because the statute says some things are enumerated, and the hitting is on the enumerated portion. I believe that's part 2B.
But why can't you say, okay, the towel in and of itself doesn't get you there, but the towel combined with the other four things does?
Because if you do that, Judge, you end up in a space where you look at a situation and say, I don't like this. You're separating the definition, and the court may very well agree that this is not the standard behavior that you want, but you separate the behavior from the statute. Each behavioral act, in order for it to constitute abuse, must be tied to the statute.
So are you saying that each individual thing the commissioner cited, the towel, the finger wagging, the getting up close in the face, each of those in and of itself must constitute abuse for there to be abuse?
Each of them in and of it, they either singularly must fit under the definition of abuse, whether it be the first part, which is the emotional part, I'll talk generally, or the second part, which is the hitting part.
Why can't they be considered cumulatively?
Because the statute doesn't allow the court to say, let's look at the whole situation and figure out. The problem, Judge Larkin, with considering it cumulatively is that you separate behavior from the statute.
Statute speaks to use of repeated or malicious. So, I mean, it specifically addresses circumstances where you have repeated behavior. Doesn't that envision a cumulative
approach? I disagree with that approach, Judge, and I think the true danger in doing and taking that approach is that it frees the commissioner to decide on the overall context. You hit the person, but that wouldn't satisfy the standard for abuse. You said something to the person, that wouldn't satisfy the standard for abuse. You did this third thing that we also don't like, that wouldn't satisfy the statutory standard for abuse. But when you put it all together, even though none of this satisfies the statutory definition of abuse, we can still find abuse. In other words, you can't take parts that are insufficient under the statute and put them together and end up with abuse. So the hitting is insufficient under the statute because the predicate, portion of the statute says it must be cause a reasonable person pain. That's not enough. And so now you're just left with and once that's out, I think it's wholly improper to bring it back in for the purposes, once you've determined that the hitting is not abuse, I think it would be totally improper under the statute to bring it back in for the purposes of saying the wagging of the finger now is abuse because you also hit the person, even though that's not abuse.
Why can't we look at the part of sub 2 that says the treatment of a vulnerable adult, which would be considered by a reasonable person to be disparaging and so on? Just look at the treatment of a vulnerable adult. And why couldn't one look at that and say, tossing a towel, and I'll just say tossing. Let's say it's not hitting. Tossing a towel twice onto the vulnerable adult's face in the context of sort of looming over her, pointing her finger, and appearing to be angry. That's treatment that is disparaging, derogatory, humiliating. Why can't we just focus on treatment? It doesn't need to be hitting.
I agree, Judge.
Okay.
And if we're just in that space, and the only thing I'm cautioning the court is not to merge the two. Not to conflate this whole scenario of what occurred and separating the behavior from the statute. So, Judge Smith, if you just want to focus on the treatment, then you have to conclude that the wagging of the finger, okay, in a vulnerable adult's face constitutes abuse.
But why doesn't treatment include everything that's shown on the video?
Because the commissioner's already taken the position that hitting is under the subdivision. Subdivision two of the statute.
But the commissioner also took the position that hitting was part of the treatment, which satisfied sub B two.
Then we're merging the two.
It's alternative theories.
Well, that's fine, Judge. But my problem with the alternative theory is that it shows no respect for the distinction that the legislature has set up. And so if we can just simply use the word treat.
Well, I mean, first of all, this whole statutory list is including but not limited to. So these are just some examples. There can be a whole lot of other things that aren't on the list. So we're not really limited at all.
I see my time has run out. May I respond to the
Please.
Question? I think you're right. And I make that point in a brief that it's not an exhaustive list. But Staley says that the behavior that we're going to add to this enumerated list must be as serious and egregious. Okay, so if you're going to go back let me conclude by saying this. The behavior wasn't ideal, and it wasn't done under ideal situations. But the question of whether it constitutes abuse is a statutory question. It's not an emotional reaction to the question. It's not a visceral reaction to the question. It's a question of whether the conduct meets specific statutory definitions of abuse, and we believe that it does not, and ask the court to reverse.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. And thank you, Ms. McKenzie. Matter's been submitted. That is our last matter on our calendar for oral argument, and so the court's in recess.
All rise.